You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Our next interview, we visit again once again with Lisa Anderson with Focus on the Family, who, Lisa, I believe you oversee the Boundless Ministry. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So Boundless is what we're called. That's what it's branded. And it's in essence the young adult ministry of Focus. So young professionals, mostly in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah. And actually, recently you and I visited on the topic of being single in this wedding season, which actually just re-aired last week on ABQ Connect. So it was a lot of great content. I'm really looking forward to visiting with you today, talking about tips and insights on caring for a family member with dementia. I've just got to be a little curious here. What drew you into this topic?
Yeah, really personal experience. And it is so wild, Steve, to think of how many people are in, I mean, sometimes it's referred to as that the sandwich generation, maybe Gen Xers or younger boomers who are caring for an aging parent while at the same time maybe trying to launch adult children. And I'm single, never married, no kids. And so I had the opportunity to care for my own mom who had dementia probably about 10 years before she passed away. And it was just a progression that we saw. And I remember just thinking she had pulled the trigger on moving into assisted living. Just living alone in her home had become too difficult. My dad had passed a few years prior. And so she went into assisted living and she hated it. She did it for 3 years. And even that eventually became not enough care for her with the memory loss and the decline. So I was praying about, you know, well, hey, how could I step in here? And I would love to take mom in if I could, but I'm single. I work full time. How is this possible? And I was sharing it with my Bible study. One of my dear friends came up to me one night and she said, Lisa, I just really feel like God is calling me to help you in this journey. And I would love to be part of this. And long story short, Steve, she quit her job and became mom's daytime caregiver. And we actually went in on it. She's also single. We went in on a home together. We rented out each of our homes and moved mom in. And we kind of became the Christian golden girls and did that for almost 3 years before mom went to be with Jesus.
Well, as I hear that, I just think how precious, and you know, and not easy, probably. I haven't experienced that myself, but opportunity to spend time that, you know, close time with family. And actually, I want to thank you, Lisa, for doing that. I think it's just so honorable to see children that are caring for their aging parents in this way. And, you know, part of the reason we're talking about this is June, although we're, you know, here at the tail end of June, it's Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month. And Lisa, I think often people, when they are confronted or aware of someone with dementia, I think often you see people go straight to the word Alzheimer's, but the truth is Alzheimer's maybe is a more specific ailment, and there's other types of dementia. Can you kind of clear those muddy waters for us a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. There are actually a few different types of dementia. And a lot of times, you know, I refer to it or professionals would refer to it as cognitive decline of some version, Alzheimer's being one of those and a very specific diagnosis. My mom actually had what's called vascular dementia. So hers had been precipitated by a series of mini strokes called TIAs, really with a history in her own life of high blood pressure. And that had just kind of started maybe in her early 70s, some of these TIAs. And so anyway, so that's a different diagnosis and a little bit of a different progression in that mom's was kind of what I call a slow burn. So she had a decline and then that would be her new normal for a while. And then maybe she would have either another life event or maybe another TIA. And then you would see the bump down again and she would lose a little more of processing or whatever that looked like. And so, and you know, the helpful thing, Steve, was that on the front end, she started recognizing some stuff. For her, it was some word finding problems to begin with. She would say, you know, well, I reheated my coffee in the, what's that thing on the counter? And I'd say, oh, the microwave. Yeah, that, you know. And so then it became processing where she realized like, oh, if I'm going to put water on the stove, I better write myself a big sign and put it on my lap so I remember to turn the stove off. And that, you know, near the end of that season is when it became unsafe for her to live in her own home. And I remember an occupational therapist came in and was doing an eval on her and saying, well, Dorothy, your basement is off limits. You need to get rid of these scatter rugs. You have to do blah, blah, blah. And mom kind of threw up her hands and said, forget it. I'm going to move. And so it was her choice to go into assisted living, which was a blessing for us kids because not everyone's as amenable to making those changes. And like I said, she made the decision and then hated it. So that was its own challenge. But, you know, we really had to work together with her to honor her and make sure that she was understanding what was going on and what would be safest and best for her in the long run.
And as I mentioned, June being Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month, so, you know, we're going to spend a little time talking about specifically Alzheimer's, although that's not, you know, as you mentioned, what your mom was afflicted with. But a lot of the things I think we'll talk about, and maybe more in the next segment, communication and support as a family, but more in this segment, you know, talking about things that, you know, are maybe key indicators specifically of Alzheimer's. What would be things to watch for in a family or a family member or a close friend?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of the things, the way that different things manifest can present in a similar fashion. And that's why I always say for those who are willing, you know, to start as early as you can with either a primary physician, a baseline visit related to that. And they, you know, you might be referred to a neurologist or a neuropsychologist. And with mom, that's what we did. They gave her an kind of an assessment. There are some shorter ones, and then there are some pretty extensive ones just to figure out what kind of decline there is and where the challenges really are. And I don't know, I mean, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm trying to think to myself in mom's experience, do they pinpoint something that specifically based on some of those initial assessments? And maybe they do, but honestly, there are so many other things available. You know, you can do brain scan, you can do MRIs, you can pattern the brain, see what's going on. And some people choose to do that because they really want to know. And some people are just like, I know it's obviously, you know, some kind of decline. You know, this is, Steve, what's funny is, you know, you think of a century or two ago, this is what people called senility, you know, maybe in some forms. Yeah. Now, there might be some more serious forms of that as well, but we now have a lot more information. And so there are ways to get unique diagnoses. And obviously, in some cases, there are new medications out there that can help some people maybe stay the course or give them some more functioning ability on the front end. And so those are always good options to look into as well. But really, that starting point is with your own doctor who can kind of get the something on paper to say, okay, there are some concerns here. Let's start digging into this and see what the best course is moving forward.
Yeah, and I know Focus on the Family does a great job. They've prepared some information, you know, with this being June, Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month, things to watch for like memory loss or confusion. Like you mentioned some of these things, confusion and needing help with daily tasks or problems with language and understanding, which, as you said, you know, especially when, you know, someone's going through a series of mini strokes, that's just completely understandable. Yeah. And this has got to be one of the toughest parts is changes in behavior. And I mean, that's pretty vague. I always, you know, associate that with frustration and anger And you wonder ever if it kind of goes the other way, you know?
Yeah. Well, but, they do say that with forms of dementia, generally one thing to look out for is, you know, whatever your personality was in adulthood and without, you know, before decline, it's kind of with dementia, it magnifies that. So if you were, so for example, in mom's case, mom was always a pretty strong personality. She was very opinionated. She was pretty direct. And so with dementia, that became a little more exaggerated. And quite frankly, sometimes it was hilarious and sometimes it was scary because yeah. She would have an opinion on everything. She would voice it. She also had an increase, and this is very common, increase in some forms of like paranoia. So wondering, you know, who is this person? It might be someone at church that she knew quite well. And all of a sudden there's just a break as far as like not being able to associate them with a memory. And so she thinks of them as a stranger. And it's like, why is this person talking to me? They probably want to steal something from me. And so mitigating a lot of that became really tricky. And of course, you know, and we'll talk about this more, the toll on the heart of the caregiver, especially if it's a family member, is hard, because I just remember thinking that was a grieving process for me of losing my mom in pieces as far as some of those benchmarks and stuff, and recognizing, for example, you know, the role reversal of parent-child, and she ceased being the mom who would call me up and ask how she could pray for me and ask about my day. And it became, you know, really very myopic, and her world was everything to her and what that meant. And so that's something I had to grieve and let go of and realize that this became a season of giving rather than being a two-way street.
Yeah. And actually, before we go to a break, I want to walk through some of the other things that the listeners may not be aware of. One being that more than 55 million people worldwide, and 5 million right here in the United States, suffer from Alzheimer's. And I don't know if you can speak to this or not. It says, and the problem is growing. I mean, if I was going to take a guess, well, the population is getting larger. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But is there anything that's occurring to make it more likely that you're aware of?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, what I've read in the statistics is that kind of what you alluded to. One, our population is aging. We have many more, you know, it used to be that boomers were the largest generation. Now millennials have eclipsed them. But boomers are a huge generation. And as they age and as their life expectancy increases, we're finding that the challenges related to aging are increasing. So there is that. A lot of medical professionals and others will argue that there are lifestyle factors that play into this, like stress and the pace of our society, the use of technology. Certainly, you know, some environmental factors maybe are being studied and looked into as far as their role in this. So I think it's something that a lot of people have eyes on. And it's just one of those things that, my goodness, you know, most people don't think of themselves as being, you know, we all think we have these parents that are just going to live forever and, you know, no big deal and whatever, but the aging process is real and the challenges that come with that. And so we all have to, I would argue, prepare before we're in crisis mode, because that'll help set us up for success.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of other statistics, but you know, just to remind the listener, it isn't something you're unlikely to encounter, whether yourself or a family or a friend. One in 10 Americans over the age of 65 has Alzheimer's, and there was an 89% increase in deaths due to Alzheimer's between 2000 and 2014. I think that stat also probably could be connected to some of what we just talked about, that the problem is growing. But every 66 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's, and one in three seniors dies with some form of dementia, and typical life expectancy after an Alzheimer's diagnosis is 4 to 8 years. You know, and actually, because after the break, I really want to focus on what we can do for family members and more on that. The emotions of it and strategy and what have you. One of the things I've noticed, I mean, I'm in my upper 50s. And you know, I'm one of those Cliff Clavin type for those who are Cheers fans, where you know there's a lot of trivia floating around up there. And I'm finding as I age, maybe just because there's more of it, but also I have wondered, you know, is this the beginning of, you know, where you have to kind of dig a little deeper in there to find those hidden stats that you've carried for years?
Yeah. Well, and that's where it really is, you know, it is tricky thinking about, you know, again, none of us, especially those of us who are middle-aged or whatever, think that this is going to affect us or think that, you know, we, certainly not directly. You know, we all think we're going to, you know, oh, I feel like I'm in decent health now. This is fine. I remember even thinking, you know, questioning my mom's situation because my mom was always the, like the reader in the family and very much training her brain and doing a lot of like cognitive exercises. And she was very up on current events and all that. And so I think it was one of those challenges of thinking through, yeah, okay, well, what does this look like? How are we going to move forward with this? And even getting her to recognize some of the challenges of that. And of course, coming together as a family and figuring out what is this going to look like for us. And so I think there's a fair amount, you know, one of the things that I've heard quite often is when people say, because they're like, oh, well, is this dementia? Is this Alzheimer's? You know, people will say, because they'll be like, well, I forgot. I don't know where my keys are, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I think they usually, every way I've heard it described has been, it's okay if you lose your keys, as long as you know that losing your keys or finding them in a weird place is a weird thing. It's when you find your keys in your refrigerator and you don't think that's a problem, then, you know, there are concerns. And so,
yeah.
You know, some of those things that were more personality breaks or cognitive breaks for mom of not recognizing people or feeling the paranoia was what we really had to start contending with.
Well, I have a confession to make. I often will put keys in the refrigerator. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it is. When you go somewhere, you're at a friend. You know, you're out to dinner and you have leftovers, and you go to a friend's house and you bring in the leftovers, put them in the fridge. I put my keys with the leftovers so I don't forget them.
I don't know, Steve. We'll let you tell that tale, but I don't know. It sounds like you better look into it.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're visiting with Lisa Anderson from Focus on the Family and Boundless. And we'll continue our conversation, June being Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month, and come back and talk more about having those discussions, some strategy. We touched a little bit on that, but we're going to dive in a little deeper when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We're right in the midst of a conversation with Lisa Anderson with Focus on the Family and Boundless. June is Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month, and we're kind of touching on those areas of tips and insight and caring for a family member with dementia. And one of the things, Lisa, before we go, I did want to touch on was, you know, as a family member or a friend, when you start to see and suspect dementia or Alzheimer's, just some strategy for how to, I mean, it just feels like a topic to handle with kids' gloves. I'm sure you might, you know, you've walked through it. You know, what kind of insights would you give people as far as how to, you know, broach the topic with that family member?
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting you say that, Steve, because I would actually encourage folks to back up the timeline a little further. And even before any kind of cognitive decline presents itself, have this conversation within your family of when mom and or dad start having these challenges, what is the plan? So, because again, then your mom and dad can be part of the conversation and feel empowered to direct their own care as they age and as they maybe have that decline. And I mean, that could apply to whether or not they specifically have a dementia or Alzheimer's diagnosis or just general care. I mean, again, as our population ages, we need to be having these conversations. Too many families find themselves in that spot and then they're like, what do we do? And so I know in my own instance, I'll tell on myself, I was way overconfident in how this was going to play out. So I thought, Steve, that I was going to take mom in and I was going to be the hero. So I'm the youngest of six kids. I thought, I want to give mom a great last season and I want her to feel cared for and loved and included. And all of that was good and all of that was true intentions. But I just figured I would tell all my siblings and they would be like, Lisa, you're amazing. We can't believe you're doing this. How can we help? What do you need help with? What can we do? Do you, you know, we'll come in, we'll fill in for you, we'll give you respite, we'll make sure that we pitch in, all of that. And I kind of got crickets, Steve. So yeah. That conversation didn't go the way that I had planned it to go. In fact, you realize when times of crisis come, it brings out a lot of fear and a lot of control issues that people have. It brings out, you know, it's turning your world kind of upside down in the future as you are imagining it. So that, you know, really families need to decide, for example, asking the primary question of who will be the main boots on the ground caregiver for mom and or dad? What is that going to look like? Will it precipitate a move? Is it going to be in-home care? And then what will other siblings do? Who's going to contribute financially? Who's going to be that person that provides backup and respite? Is someone going to take over all the paperwork, for example? Maybe one sibling is in charge of finances and in charge of medical records and care and all of that. Legal stuff. And so those conversations, I would say, need to happen sooner rather than later. And then also that conversation of what is our ideal scenario for how this plays out? So is in-home care, is someone taking mom or dad in the ideal situation, or are you going to look at other options? Is what's the financial situation? Is that even possible? Because, I mean, man, facility care at this point, Steve, is outrageously expensive, and many aging adults don't have long-term care insurance or don't have the money in place to really make that feasible longer term. And so again, all of those conversations and recognizing, including the parent in the decision as much as is possible. And then really, you know, realizing, I would say the other thing, and we can talk about this a little more as we move into what does caregiving actually look like. But this conversation around really reconciling the fact that your life is going to change. No one becomes a caregiver for a parent with dementia and just kind of hums along at the same rate. You know, I only half jokingly tell people I used to be this really interesting, like fun single woman. And then I took mom in and I started looking for sales on Depends, you know? And yeah. I mean, it was a seismic shift as to I had to start, you know, I had to drop extracurricular activities. I had to start, you know, really crafting my schedule around mom's and her needs because she needed structure. She needed routine. She needed, I couldn't just bebop around town or around the world with her. So keeping those things in mind and realizing that this is going to be a selfless season and reconcile yourself to that and realize, as you alluded on the front end, Steve, that you are going to be doing a good work. You are honoring God in what you are doing, and the love that you are going to give is going to have to come from God himself, because there will be days when you are just bankrupt in terms of emotional capacity, the desire to even understand what's going on. And so you've got to be prayed up. You need to have people around you who are going to walk through this with you, because it is no easy journey.
Yeah, really great insight. A lot of information there. And actually, what I would encourage our listeners to do is remember, this is going to be posted at abqconnect.online to revisit some of what Lisa just walked through. Really, one of the things that stood out to me was, you know, addressing it before it's an issue. I mean, there's a chance that it may not be an issue as a family member or friend age. You know, one of the strategies that I've considered is, you know, when the topic comes up, maybe about another family member that's going through it, that the door's open there. There's a chance to say, because, you know, it's not unusual to talk about the difficulties that another part of the family's having with someone else, and to say, wow, you know, this is a good lesson for us that we should really pre-plan and have something in place that we, you know, we're all on board. So I really do appreciate the thought of pre-planning, you know, not waiting until you start to see things decline. And then the other, including other family members, you know, how do you deal with it? You know, there's family members who want to help, who maybe live hundreds or thousands of miles away. And some of the things I think you brought up was, you know, medical issue, you know, bills or legal or, you know, is that something that's possible from a distance? And I would have to imagine it's a little more difficult, but possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for many people, that is some, you know, that is an example of a way that other family members, siblings, others can contribute, you know, especially with our digital age, there's so much that can be done remotely and online and managing things via computer and phone and whatnot. So I think it's all worth having a conversation over. In fact, as you were talking, Steve, I was reminded of one of my cousins who's, you know, just in middle age, and he's actually written a letter for his adult children just for when that time comes to say, you know, here's what I would love to see happen if it's possible. And even saying things as granular as, if I act in this way, I would love for you to do this. Or don't, you know, maybe if this is what I say, don't take that personally, don't take that to heart. Or here's, like, while I'm in my right mind, here are my actual wishes and what I'd love to see. And I just thought that was so wise and has so much foresight in realizing I'm going to craft this tale and communicate it to my kids so they don't have to fight over what that looks like for me or what I wish would have happened.
And the other thing you did mention was prayer. And I have a friend now who's walking through this, it's not necessarily dementia or Alzheimer's, but caring for an aging parent. He's caring for his mother, and she's caring for her mother, and they're so involved in that they actually kind of pass once a week, you know, where they can you know, spend time together as husband and wife, and it's someone, you know, who's over 1,000 miles away from me. And, you know, what I've been able to do in my busy schedule is, you know, at least text once in a while and say, hey, how's it going? You know, and how can I specifically be praying for what you guys are walking through? Because I just can't imagine. And as believers, we know the power of prayer the importance of, as Moses had people around him to hold his arms up, there's ways that we can come alongside each other and walk through difficulties like this together.
Absolutely. And that's where I'd say too, you know, the one thing we haven't gone into specifics of is the way that the church can be the church. You know, like I said, I'm single. I live away from the majority of my family. I actually had mom do a multiple state move to come out and live with me. And so I had to stand up in front of my Sunday school community at church and just say, hey, FYI, I don't think I can do this alone. And if anyone would join me in this, man, it would really help. And the church became the church. I had dear friends, like I said, my great friend Juliana, who stepped in to become mom's daytime caregiver. And then there were others who said, yes, hey, let me take, you know, 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday so you can go out and get a break or run an errand or do what you need to do. Other people gave gift cards of just like, to a restaurant, hey, don't cook tonight, go get something on us. Or I remember some coworkers told me on Friday, Lisa, we're coming over tomorrow morning. You and your mom get out of the house. We're going to clean your house. And just stuff like that, that, you know, we all, when we have the margin to do something, to really step in for someone who might be drowning in this season, it just shows the love of God and the extension of his grace to all of us. And it's an amazing picture to a watching world as well.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate your time, and that's a good place to put a bow on the conversation, I think. We've been visiting with Lisa Anderson with Focus on the Family, and all she also oversees the Boundless Ministry there. And this month being Alzheimer's Brain and Awareness Month, we thought it important to cover tips, insight, and caring for a family member with dementia. Some great things to consider that you've shared, Lisa. We appreciate your time and look forward to having you back on for another topic another time.
Hey, it is always my privilege, Steve. So thanks so much for what you do as well.
And thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.